welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. We got the squad in-house again today. It's Luke and Aaron, gentlemen. How are we doing on this Wednesday afternoon?
Doing well, Will. Having fun here on Wednesday. Things are buzzing around the Civic Media headquarters. We got a lot of folks here in the new State Street headquarters for Civic Media. It's a great Wednesday. Glad to be with you on the airwaves.
Yeah, some days I close the production booth door out of courtesy to the people out there, but today is one of the days where I close it because they're loud.
You've earned it at this point, Aaron. You've earned it.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
Well, it means that you've been respectful of them for so long that now you've earned the right to force them to be respectful to you by keeping that door shut.
Gotcha. I see what you mean.
Yeah. So we have a fabulous show lined up for you today. You know, we've been really hammering over the past week and the past couple days in particular about confidence in American institutions. So I ask you today, the people of Wisconsin, about another famous American institution. Do you approve or disapprove of the job the Supreme Court is doing? Reading over from a new Marquette Law School poll, the national survey found that 45% of adults approve of the job the U.S. Supreme Court is doing, while 55% disapprove. While approval remains below disapproval, this is a 4 percentage point increase in approval since May and the second highest rating since March of 2022, when approval stood at 54%. This trend in approval since 2020 is listed on the MU Law School poll website. And they note that for each of the 5 June 2023 decisions inquired about, a plurality of people with an opinion favored the court's ruling as discussed after the tables included on the site. This is very surprising to me, Luke, because the people that I have spoken with now, obviously this is simply anecdotal experience, but I hear otherwise. I tend to hear otherwise on the ground. I think 45% is significantly higher than I would have guessed. And that is changing rather quickly, as approval ratings have been as low as 41 and as high as 66 if you're going back the past year. What are your thoughts, Luke?
Yeah, I think this is some pretty interesting polling out of our friends over the Marquette University Law School. It's I don't know what to take of it. There's a lot of stories coming out about the Supreme Court, so I think watching the changes that we see from poll after poll, the Marquette Law School poll and their pollster, Charles Franklin, doing these polls now every 2 months. So the last one was May. We got this one in July. We'll look forward for another one in September. But it is interesting to keep track of trends like this because of all of the different rulings. We want to hear your thoughts, though. 844-967-2789. You can join us here on Town Call. We're going to be joined as well by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area coming up at 12:30. Going to be joining for some general recombobulation about things going on here in Wisconsin and in the Milwaukee area. But you can join us now, 844-967-2789. You can call or text here on Town Call. Up first this Wednesday afternoon, we got Totter Billy calling in from the north side of Madison. What's on your mind today, Totter Billy?
Hey, relevant to your question, I just hate the question, not that it seems default, but my feelings about the Supreme Court aren't so much about the Supreme Court, because I have a very high opinion of certain members of the Supreme Court and a great deal of confidence in them. And other members I'm very skeptical of, disappointed of, and angry at, feel are completely out of touch. I'm very disappointed in the way that the Republican Party has manipulated the system to stack the court. I'm not disappointed in the system itself. I'm disappointed in the way Republicans have used it. So a tough question to answer, and it bothers me because I really, really think very highly of Ketanji Brown Jackson, Sonia Sotomayor, and Kagan. But the decisions that many of the decisions the court make turn my stomach.
That's a great point, Souter Billy. Yeah, I mean, the polling doesn't specifically ask whether your confidence is in the individuals within the court or the you know, the institution of the court itself.
Well, it does.
There are
Will. There is a breakdown from so I'm reading from a piece over Bloomberg Law, talking about confidence in the court as an institution also rose in the July survey of 1,005 adults, with 31% of respondents saying they have a great deal or a lot of confidence in the court, which was also up from the May Marquette survey, which was then 25%. So it is an institution, even gets lower, though. So as Todd or Billy points out, there are some underlying factors that go into how respondents are answering this question, because you can have faith in the institution, you can have faith in some of the justices, but then still be upset with others. And so there is a breakdown there. At the time as well, reading from this piece over at Bloomberg Law, at the time, 26% of respondents said that the justices' honesty and ethical standards were high or very high. That increased to 32% in July. So that went up 6%, even though we're seeing these stories about questioning the ethics of some of the judges. So it is a baffling trend in some regards when news reports are coming out about what some of these justices are doing, but then respondents increasing by 6 percentage points over the past 2 months. But the public was divided. A third of respondents, 33%, rated the justice honesty and ethical standards as average, and another third, 35%, rated them low or very low. So it's pretty much a three-way split when it comes to the ethics questions as well. So the Marquette University Law School poll out today talking about confidence in the U.S. Supreme Court as an institution and your approval or disapproval, depending on the questions, Will, it does change for how respondents are answering that.
Great point, Luke. Yeah, that's fascinating. And that does go back to something we talked about yesterday with polling in particular, that you can write the question in a way to try to generate an answer you think is more favorable to whatever cause or narrative you are pushing. I'm not obviously saying that that's what's going on right now, but what I am saying is that, you know, it can be hard to determine the results of polling. A lot of citizens can be fickle in their answers, in their replies. That can be changing with however you decide to word the question. Another point that I thought was really interesting coming from the MU Law poll, Luke, was the approval versus disapproval rate by self-identified members of individual parties. So those who identify as Republicans in the July of 2023 poll approve of the Supreme Court at a 71% clip, with disapproval at 29%. Independents approve of the court at a 40% clip, with disapproval at 60%. And Democrats approve of the Supreme Court at 24%, with a disapproval rate of 76%. Of course, that averages out to the total approval disapproval rating of 45-55 that we mentioned. But pretty clear differences here amongst individuals based on your party preference as to whether you approve or disapprove of the recent decisions made by the Supreme Court.
Yeah, that's important to point out. I think it's also important to point out that it's not just party, though. Party ID is not the only leading aspect of this disapproval of the U.S. Supreme Court. It's important to show independence. That's a pretty wide gap, a 20-point gap between independents is fairly large when it comes to this, which I think leads to that 10-point gap overall, 55-45 disapproval of the U.S. Supreme Court. We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call. What are your thoughts on the Supreme Court? 844-967-2789. You can call or text here on Town Call across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. And Will, do you think there will be a further increase come 2 months from now, or do you think this is going to be something that, you know, kind of goes back and forth a little bit as it's something that the Marquette poll is going to be tracking here in 2023?
Well, obviously, the Supreme Court completed its docket a couple of weeks ago. I think that's really the driving force of a lot of these responses, is what decisions have been made recently. I hate to make this comparison, but you know how in professional sports, it's always talked about as a, what have you done for me lately league? I think most industries, particularly industries that are very forward facing in terms of media attention, such something like the Supreme Court, Americans have a short attention span, and we tend to defer back to whatever we most recent headline that we saw. In this case, it was the 2023 docket. Now the Supreme Court will not be making any judgments until they're back in session. So unless there is some kind of or multiple potentially breaking media pieces relating to individuals on the court and their judgments, their decisions, the ethical dilemmas that they may be facing, I can't see confidence necessarily changing, but that is very possible. You look back at the past 6 months alone, how many pieces have been released showing a lot of the issues that the justices have been getting into in the past. And I wouldn't be surprised if more issues were to come to the limelight.
It will be interesting to see if no news is good news, or if no news surrounding the docket means only room for other news stories, as you pointed out. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You can join the conversation here on Town Call. Up next on this Wednesday afternoon, we got Ted in Eau Claire listening. Ted, what are your thoughts on the U.S. Supreme Court?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. First-time radio caller, just found the Civic Network. So glad to have a new point of view on the airwaves.
Yeah, thanks for calling in this afternoon.
Glad to have you here, Ted.
So with the approval ratings that you guys were just discussing, you know, political approval ratings for at least the past 20 years seemed to always hover around that 45 to 50% mark. Do you feel if the court was leaning more liberal today instead of conservative that approval ratings would be any different? And it's just kind of showing that there's kind of a line drawn down the middle of America right now.
That's a great question, Ted. Yeah, that's a great question. I'm inclined to think, and I think most people would agree, that it really comes down to what the quote-unquote independent voters think in this situation. Because as you noted, and as the polling numbers note, Republicans and Democrats are going to side ideologically with whatever they think best fits their party line. In this situation, independents approve of the court at a 40% clip, which, as Luke noted, really drives that 45% total. Would it be different if it was the reverse? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. And I'd love to hear more people's thoughts if they have an answer to that. But we're going to figure that out as we come back. We'll be right back.
We'll be joined by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. Looking forward to having Dan join us as well. Thank you, Ted, for your phone call. This is Town Call, 844-967-2789.
There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the Recombobulation Area.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. We are entering the Recombobulation Area on this Wednesday afternoon. If you would like to join us in the Recombobulation Area, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Joined by Dan Schaefer on this Wednesday afternoon. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I love that intro. That's just incredible stuff.
It doesn't get great. Old. It, every time I listen to it, I'm giddy. That's the best way to describe it. So,
what's that speech from? I obviously know that you put Bobby Portis quotes in there. What's the speech from the
the Twilight Zone.
Isn't that the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, it's essentially the Twilight Zone turned into recombobulation area. So we tweaked it.
Okay, perfect.
There we go. And so Todd on the production team helped out with the voicer there and put it together. And Aaron was the one that provided Todd the clips. So we had a lot of fun. It was a team effort here at Civic Media. And we're thrilled to be joined by you, Dan Schaefer, of the recombobulation area here at 12:30 on Wednesdays on Town Call. And so we're finishing up a segment. What we were talking about is recent Marquette University Law School polling, Dan. And before the last break, a caller asked us if we believe that this would be, you know, flipped. If it was a liberal justice-controlled Supreme Court, if there was a majority of liberals on it instead of the current 6-3 conservative makeup, would the polling be inverse? And my, before we got to the break, I couldn't share my thoughts. But it was, it's hard to tell. You'll never really know, because the way that the Supreme Court makeup now was forever altered in 2016 when Mitch McConnell refused to appoint Merrick Garland to the U.S. Supreme Court, Obama's third nominee to the highest court, and the makeup is completely changed. So there's really no way to tell where the opinion would be now. We can only have excellent pollsters like Charles Franklin and the Marquette University Law School reach out to individuals across the country and gauge their thoughts on where we are now. But that was kind of our final takeaway there. We've got another aspect of polling, Dan, going on, because there's a debate coming to town. Couple of weeks from today, I believe we're about a month out now from the first Republican-held debate in Milwaukee. Going into your neck of the woods, your thoughts on the RNC holding its first debates next month in Milwaukee?
Yeah, obviously it's going to be kind of the unofficial beginning of the 2024 campaign cycle, and obviously that for the Republican presidential primary. That's going to be a pretty big deal in the city of Milwaukee with the RNC coming to town and with the debate starting as well. So now I believe we're at 7 candidates who will make the debate stage, meet the qualifications. You know, it's been quite the week for the, I don't know, top challenger to Donald Trump, who would be the front runner, top challenger being Ron DeSantis, whose campaign seems to be just all over the place right now. And he has to be thinking he's got to make it to that debate stage to try to change things for the direction his campaign is going, because it does not look good for the governor from Florida right now.
And I can't lie, Dan, that scares me when you say the unofficial start to the 2024 presidential campaign. I just finished our special election. I want a little bit of time to like catch my breath or something. I do not want to get back into this.
Well, we've got like, what, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before we're getting back into it. I mean, as far as Wisconsin goes, that's about as long of a break between election cycles as we get. You know, I was thinking like after the spring election, Tammy Baldwin, it was like only a week before Tammy Baldwin announced that she would be running for re-election. So we didn't have time to take a break there. And we don't really have time to take a break now. And Wisconsin's political calendar is always busy. And next week we'll have Janet Protasiewicz sworn in. A couple weeks later, we'll have the debate in Milwaukee. It's just never ending.
Democracy is a 24/7, 365 gig.
In this state, it sure is. Yeah, absolutely.
Feels more than 365, 24/7, though. I don't know how they fit more in, but
time is an illusion, Luke. It's a theme on this show.
It's just one of those vibes. It's got a vibe of having more. Well, as you pointed out, though, 7 candidates qualifying. There are some qualifiers that need to be met for candidates to be able to be on the debate stage in Milwaukee next month for the first debate held by the Republican National Committee. Candidates must tally at least 40,000 individual donors to qualify. They must also meet a polling threshold, receiving at least 1% of support in 3 national polls or 1% of support in 2 national polls and 2 early voting state polls. So those are the qualifiers for candidates. Do you think we're going to see the field grow over the next couple of weeks, or do you think this is going to be kind of a set number for now with the individuals that have already qualified?
Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think it's going to grow a ton. I do think Mike Pence probably will eventually make the cut. He currently has not. I think it's just because the
I think it's
he needs
donors.
Donors,
yeah.
I think it's the issue for Pence. Yeah.
At least according to Pence's team, he told CNN recently that the campaign would make the polling requirement, quote, very easily, but getting to the required 40,000 individual donors might be difficult.
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine he'll eventually get there. It'd be a little surprising if he didn't. But yeah, I don't know if it will grow past that. You know, I don't know if there will be any late arrivals to the, you know, just to the mix in general. You know, as far as candidates challenging Donald Trump, I mean, this seems like the opportunity to really do that. We don't know if Trump is going to be present at this debate. That will, of course, be a factor. And, you know, I think it's probably because he just wants to keep everybody guessing and keep everybody asking him that instead of the myriad of other questions that he probably would less like to answer from the Beltway media right now. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see who makes the final cut for the debate stage in Milwaukee. But I think for a lot of these, you know, non-Trump challengers, DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Tim Scott, it's going to be a real opportunity to make a difference in this campaign. Cause right now it just seems like Donald Trump is running away with things, which is interesting.
Yeah. This is far Donald out.
Trump
it is
noted that. There's a piece over at JS Online discussing which Republican presidential candidates have qualified. And the quote from Donald Trump is, "When you have a big lead, you don't do it. You're leading people by 50 and 60 points. And you would say, why would you be doing a debate? It's actually not fair. Why would you let somebody that's at 0 or 1 or 2 or 3, you know, be popping you with questions?" I think that's a very interesting quote coming from a man who was in this position himself in the 2016 primaries. Remember that he came out of relative obscurity before catapulting to the top of the polls. It's interesting that he would be taking that approach now.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think it's, again, like you mentioned, what have you done for me lately? He doesn't necessarily, you know, need to take the position of somebody that's 1-3% in the polls, because he's leading the field currently as the Republican front runner for 2024. It is interesting to note, to keep an eye on whether or not he is going to attend that debate. Some of the other individuals you mentioned, Nikki Haley and Tim Scott, both from South Carolina, one former governor, one a current U.S. senator. Some of the other interesting names that qualified, Doug Burgum, the North Dakota governor, qualified, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, former governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, and Vivek Ramaswamy, an interesting character that I didn't know a whole lot about until recent weeks. Dan, are you surprised by any of those three names also qualifying for the first RNC debate next month?
Yeah, I suppose to a certain extent, it's a little surprising. It seems like Ramaswamy has been advertising and getting his name out there pretty aggressively. You know, it seems like maybe, you know, just getting his name out there for these types of primary conversations and things like that. He's got some pretty bizarre views on raising the voting age, which is a bit strange. I guess Republicans need to find a way to win over young voters one way or another, and or I guess not lose significantly.
I was just saying that's an interesting way to put that.
Yeah, that's not probably not the best.
Aging them out of the electorate isn't winning them over.
yeah, that's not the best way to put it. But that's certainly a strange one. And I think, you know, Chris Christie seems to be as much in this mix based on just wanting to be on cable TV for the rest of the foreseeable future. It seems like he has his audience, his constituency is just like people who are across the table from him on cable news shows. So I don't know if he actually has any support beyond that.
Somehow he found 40,000 donors, though. So there was at least that threshold that was met by the Christie campaign. And I that one did catch my eye as the amount, I believe the only, he is the most unpopular, like he has the highest disapproval rating among all Republican voters for this Republican field. So it'll be interesting to see when campaign finance stuff comes out, if we do, because I know there's all these dark money loopholes now, so it's hard to see who's making those 40,000 donations. But I'd be interesting to know if those are truly Republican voters or if it's just anybody that wants to see Chris Christie get on the debate stage.
Yeah, maybe just producers at like Fox News and CNBC and CNN and stuff like that who are wanting to keep him as a potential guest on cable news going forward. I don't know.
I don't know if there's that many producers out there, Dan, but that could be one theory.
I'm interested to see to what extent these candidates will actually start going after Trump in these, because he has such a lead. You know, I think, you know, you think of the possibility of many of these candidates maybe angling for a VP selection of, you know, another place within the campaign. You know, are they going to actually start going after Trump? Because it seems like whenever there's bad news about Trump, the Republicans kind of circle the wagons and say, hey, this is a witch hunt. This is fake news. This is whatever. Are they actually going to start attacking him on this debate stage? Is that what this is building towards? That's what I'm going to be interested to see.
Well, DeSantis' campaign has tried. It hasn't gone so well, but they've made some efforts to go after the kingpin.
And they've done so by trying to go to the right of Trump, which seems like a very strange and terrible strategy.
Well, maybe not a bad strategy for the primary, but it's a tougher strategy when you take into the general election math into it, for sure. It's going to be interesting to see. I think the attacks that DeSantis's campaign has made against his Republican competitors have been pretty subtle, though. And I think you're right, Dan. It's going to be something to watch when it comes to the debate in Milwaukee next month, of how pointed some of the attacks between these candidates will get between now and the debate, or on the debate stage. It'll be very interesting. We got a number of things going on in Milwaukee. We've got the county sales tax and community in the Milwaukee area having some shifting demographics. We're going to continue the conversation with Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area. If you want to join us, share your thoughts, call or text 844-967-2789. And we'll try to find a way to work in some of the Milwaukee Bucks news as well, right? There was always at least a couple Milwaukee Bucks stories. Dan, this one I can share with you. We're working to add the Milwaukee Bucks to a number of civic media radio stations. So we're looking forward to growing the network, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be not only just the Brewers, the Badgers, the Packers that you can listen to across the civic media network, working to be able to be a broadcast home in several different markets around Wisconsin for the Milwaukee Bucks. So it's definitely a fun time right now, and we're going to continue the conversation here in the Recombobulation area, talking about all of the candidates qualifying for the RNC debate in Milwaukee next month, as well as all of the Milwaukee headlines. If you've got a thought that you would like to share, 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. We're going to be right back.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We have entered the Recombobulation area with Mr. Dan Schaefer, and we are talking the upcoming presidential debate scheduled for August 23rd in Milwaukee. We're going to go to the phone lines for a second. Joanne from Madison's calling in. Joanne, what are your thoughts on the upcoming debate?
Well, I'm a little worried because we don't have comedy, late night comedy like Kimmel and Colbert and all that to help us digest these debates now, and all the other news that's coming down. I mean, I was hooked on those shows just for a good laugh, and now I'm hooked on your show because of the great humor. And look at Gutfield. Gutfield on Fox is getting incredible ratings because it's just that little bit of comedy that helps us make the spoonful of sugar that helps the medicine go down. So what are you folks thinking about the world to come without comedy because of the writer's strike, of course?
Yeah, it's an excellent point, Joanne. I'm not a standard watcher, without the strike of the late night while it's on. I don't stay up that late. I'm an early morning person now, so I only get to watch some of the clips here and there. But it is absolutely something that we're missing right now as part of the political and social commentary of satire and humor digesting some of what's going on in these current events.
Oh, yeah, I guess we'll just have to turn to other outlets like X to find.
Oh no, Dan got to mention it first. I wanted to talk about it yesterday, but we ran out of time.
I think that's an addict thing, though. It's like whoever brings it up first is the worst. So I think you may be the worst Twitter/X addict out there. Dan, it may be you then. But you've got excellent outlets here across Civic Media. You got As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bryan, Jane Matinair. You got the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. They're Town Call here right now with Luke and Will and Dan Schaefer on Wednesdays.
We try to be funny sometimes.
We try to do our best,
but we try.
Yeah, I mean, I'm doing my best out here. That's all I can say. That's all I can do each day.
I try to sneak a joke or two into my columns at the Recombobulation area as well. So, you know, there's going to be options.
Yeah.
It might be. Might be a little different than it was before. I think that is a really interesting point, though, that the caller made about, you know, not having the typical political satire machine to go, you know, run alongside the debate in the 2024 campaign.
Yeah,
it's fun to have someone to note the absurdity of what's being said and done. It's a lot easier to be able to recognize just how ridiculous a lot of the modern world is when you're able to take a couple steps back and laugh at it. And, you know, I don't claim to be particularly funny. I'm a little funny looking. So, you know, if you're tuning in via Facebook, you might be able to get a glimpse into that. But there are other outlets, as you mentioned. There are other ways to get your humor, to get this kind of digestible, enjoyable content.
I don't know if Gutfield, though, is necessarily just having the ratings because of the humor. It may just be because there's nothing else live at that time now, because I believe Gutfield was like fourth in the ratings before the writer's strike. So, yes, something's better than nothing, but I can't, I'm not going to go out and say that he's pulling in those ratings because of how good the humor for that show truly is. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. You can download the Civic Media app, take us with you wherever you go, and you can call and text right from the app. We're joined here on Town Call by Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation area. You can see all of Dan's excellent reporting on Substack at the Recombobulation area. And Dan, one of the things you've been keeping an eye on, the historic change to shared revenue here in Wisconsin. Local community is going to be getting a bigger piece of the pie from the state government. One of the aspects of that, the county now going to be looking to vote on whether or not to accept the increase to sales tax across Milwaukee County. What can you tell us about what's going on with that provision?
Yeah, so the city had its vote a couple weeks ago now and passed the sales tax increase by a 12-3 vote at the Milwaukee Common Council. And part of the requirement to pass this both at the city level and at the county level is meeting a 2/3 threshold. So it's not just a simple majority vote that will raise the sales tax. They have to have 2/3 of the Board of Supervisors voting in favor of raising the sales tax. I think it's really, really important that the county supervisors vote in favor of raising the sales tax, because there is a looming fiscal cliff for Milwaukee County when it comes to non-mandated services. You know, this is something the county executive David Crowley has said over and over and over again. By 2027, the county is out of money to pay for non-mandated services. That means stuff that is not state law that the county would carry out. Among those are things like the Milwaukee County Transit System and the Milwaukee County Parks. So if the supervisors vote no on raising the sales tax, they are effectively voting to gut funding for transit and parks in Milwaukee County. Transit, it has a very fast approaching fiscal cliff. They have a Save the Bus campaign going on right now. If the supervisors vote no on this, then that is going to be a huge, huge problem for Milwaukee County Transit. And that's right at a moment where it could be a turning point for transit as well, with the new BRT that's getting a ton of ridership, and plans for additional, you know, BRT offerings or expanded bus lines in the county as well. So a vote against this raising the sales tax would be effectively a vote to gut parks and transit in Milwaukee County.
And if listeners want to see a breakdown, an excellent reporting about things going on in Milwaukee, how can they support the work that you do, Dan, and learn more about the excellent reporting coming out of the recombobulation area?
Yep. You can, of course, find me at therecombobulationarea.substack.com. You can become a free subscriber, just get everything in your inbox, or you could become a paid subscriber to help support local independent media covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin.
Yeah, we're a big fan
of
local...
We could follow
local...
you on Twitter, X, at...
You can follow me on X at Dan R. Schaefer. I'm not really as active on Threads or Blue Sky or Mastodon, but I grabbed up the usernames so that nobody would impersonate me at least. So
there you go. I think I've set up socials on one of those and then just never did it again. So I'm just, I'm playing the violin on the deck of the Titanic. I'm just going down with the ship. When it ends and somebody pulls the plug on X or Twitter or whatever we're going to call it, that's when I'll be off. But until then,
well,
the addiction will continue.
The next thing you know, you might have, you know, bought a website domain 10 years ago, spent multiple millions of dollars on it, and then got so obsessed with the fact that you wasted money on it that you turned your $44 billion investment into that, selling away all of the brand recognition that's been built up over the last 15 years.
Without checking if your main rival,
10 years ago.
And without checking if your main rival technically already has the copyright for that name.
Right.
All right, I'm going to go X a little bit. I'll thank you guys. Dan Schaefer, really appreciate you joining us on a Wednesday afternoon. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. If you miss any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. You can find us on Civic Media's website. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. You can also follow the show on Facebook and X, previously known as Twitter. We'll be joined again next Wednesday by Dan Schaefer. Until then, we really appreciate it, Dan. Town Call will be back tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to y'all then.
Take it easy, party people.